Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Shmir Salvation class learning. Good morning, Shavua Tov, Chodesh Tov, Baruch Hashem, journeying through the month of Adar, 1 week away from Tainis Esther, Ba'azar Hashem, the Yom Tov of Purim. So, everyone as well, and let's get right into our Shmir Salvation class learning. Tfila al Hadibur. Yibona Sha'olam, Yiratza Mefanacha, Arachum Vachanan, Shetizakeni Hayom, Vachol Yom, Lishmer Piu, Shoni, Mulash and Hara Rechilis. Ezarm le daber fil alish yachi vekosh kena kaiso vachelik mehem vekosh kena misrem amidosav shal kosh baruchu. Ezarm le daber de vishakar chanufa machokas kas gaiva. Ona as dvarim habanas panim leitzonis vachol dibur asur. Zakini shlo le daber kim daber hatzorich leinani gufi vinafshi yukol maasai vediburai l'shem shamayim. Amen v'amen. We are learning as always the Zecher Nishmas Tzvi Gersha v'neil v'chana alav Hashem. And the Zecher Nishmas Zev Wolf Ben Yishai, Lavashel Mebot Neshamos, Avalios and Zechiros the Tova, and the Zchus of the Divrei Torah that we will share. With your permission, Zchus Rufua for Bracha Vigal, Vasracha Gita, we should only share Mishenechnas Adar, Marabim Besimcha, with Mr. Tovos, Rufuos, Yeshuas, and Simcha for all. So let's get into our learning. We are in a section still called Onas Dvarim, Verbal Oppression. Oh, this is an interesting story, actually. Just last week, I was speaking in Flatbush. I had a share in Flatbush last week, and sometimes when I'm in Flatbush, Brooklyn, there's a certain bagel store that I like to go to pick up for the car ride home, because I don't come home. I got another share in Atlantic Beach. It's much later until I get home. So I like to pick up something specific to eat. So this time, for a certain reason, I decided that there was another place that was more convenient, and I was going to go to that one. I had never gone into there, but it was just much more convenient than the other one. I had another shear to make, Atlantic Beach, fine. So I went into this other one that I never really went into. And it was very, like, there weren't a lot of people at all. One other customer. There was a frum fellow behind the counter. And I saw that some of, like, the shelves didn't have things. It didn't look so my taste. And the food did not look so appealing to me. And I realized that I didn't really want to eat there. Then I thought, oh no, we learned all about this in Shir. And it falls into the category of Onas Dvarim. What am I going to do now if I walk out and there's only this one from guy behind the counter? It's not Target, it's not Costco. It's not their business, they're employees. You can walk in, you can walk out. And you already asked me, can I help you? And I don't necessarily, to my taste, find the food looking appealing, so I didn't know what to do. So I didn't want to walk out, and I know we have covered this topic in Shir. So in the end, Baruch Hashem, I found something that I would be okay with eating. Of course, I didn't say anything to him. I just said, could you make medium holy bagel? Could you make my sandwich a certain way? Okay, so Baruch Hashem, but I was really thinking of the Shir when I walked in, and I intended to buy, and then I saw that the food did not look my taste. And I thought, oh no, what am I going to do? Because if I was under Onas Dvarim to go into the store, remember there was a whole machlokas, if you have money, if you have intention. Anyway, we would have definitely been losing a sale. There weren't a lot of people there. So Baruch Hashem, I found something to eat. Okay, so we are talking about Onas Dvarim. I make a note every time we end where I'm exactly up to so I don't forget. I'm in the middle of quoting an article which we are going to go through quickly. And then we're going to be turning the page in the Sefer, but I cut it out. It's from Parshas Lech Lecha, like Rishus Noach Lech Lecha, the fall, 5783. It was in the Jewish home, and it's called Kids Have Feelings Too, by Sarah Ravich. And I'm in the middle of this article. I'm just going to go back to the beginning, and I'm going to quote through the article quickly, and then we'll go ahead. So it's about Onas Dvarim. Shortly after the Holocaust, a newly widowed survivor was financially struggling to raise her two young children in America, her new home. In a community of predominantly poor families, she was the neediest. She worked exceptionally hard, but as a new immigrant without another breadwinner, she was a widow, she was unable to provide the basic necessities for her children. Her little boy's cheder rabbi would distribute weekly an envelope for each child to bring home, to be returned with a few coins from the parents to cover the cost of lunch. Not wanting to embarrass the young widow, who could not even afford a few coins, the rabbi did not give her son an envelope every week. every boy but this child received an envelope to take home and to bring back with money. The mother probably never even knew about the envelope, the poor widow, and she was saved from the shame it would have caused. Knowing this widow, my booby, she would probably have tried to further deny herself the little nourishment she had in an attempt to provide for her son, my father, and send them back those few coins. It's easy to see the sensitivity the Cheder Rebbe showed to this young woman, fresh from the ashes of Europe, by removing the pressure, not sending an envelope, not requesting coins. There's one problem. Over 60 years after these envelopes were distributed, that little boy, my father, now a Zaidi himself, still remembers the embarrassment of pain of never getting the envelope, while the whole class did. I'm not here to judge the actions of the Rebbe or the Hanhala Shuites or the decisions that were made back then during a time we cannot fathom. But it struck me as an incredible example of how aware and sensitive a child can be to what's happening around them and how long the feelings of pain can last. I think when it comes to Onas Dvarim, very often those hurtful words, that situation of embarrassment and pain that we suffered, stays with us for a very, very long time. In this case, more than 60 years. I'd like to think that if these adults had realized the shame the little boy would experience 6 decades later, they would have found a way to give him an envelope in class, perhaps intercept it before he left, or simply include a nachus note each week for his mother. My bubi's yurtzeit is the 12th of Cheshvan, she writes, remember, I cut this out, Parshas Lech Lecha. It's worth taking a moment to acknowledge the dedication of her to her family and her Mesiras Nefesh, a single mother, to raise her children. Okay, Mir Neshama, have an Aliyah. But the point of the story, this is by Sarah Revich, she writes every week in the Jewish home, is how one, this was an ongoing situation, but one example of how Onas Dvarim, and sometimes it's not what we would expect. Like, you don't think going into the store and asking, do you have holy bagels, and then realizing you don't like how any of the spreads look. Now, that's Onas Dvarim. You don't think of it like that, but it is. So now, what do you do? And this situation can be remembered in this case of this little boy, the weekly embarrassment was remembered 6 decades later. How careful we have to be. It's very sobering and frightening. How careful we have to be with everything we speak. She continues, children are smaller than adults, less verbal, and don't often process the world the same way we do. So this is specifically in regard to causing an Onas Dvarim to children. In fact, Rav Palm Zatzal and the Rav Palm in the Art School of Palm biography, and Palm would speak very harshly against people who would tease children. Or let's say you're teaching the child to walk and you keep moving back and you keep moving back. You want them to walk more and you keep moving back. Actually, he said, so what you're doing is causing pain or causing agmas nefesh to the child. They keep thinking they're going to reach the target, and then he moved back. And they walk a few more steps, he moved back. And he spoke very harshly about parents or people who tease, who cause pain, agmas nefesh to children. And sometimes we don't think about it. Oh, they're just children. It'll fall off right their shoulders. Oh, they're just children. They don't understand. It's absolutely not correct. And we have to be extremely careful with Onas Dvarim vis-a-vis adults and vis-a-vis our children, whether it's our own children, grandchildren, students, a child in shul who's misbehaving. We have to know our place very, very carefully and be very, very careful. Children are smaller than adults, less verbal, and don't process the world the same way we do. Often, we unintentionally do things that can embarrass these little people when we don't appreciate the depths of their feelings. It's easy to assume kids don't notice the things we say or do, but they are surprisingly perceptive. She gives an example. I once brought my daughter to visit a dermatologist. The doctor confirmed the spot in question was benign. He took some measurements, should it ever change, chas v'sham. He explained the reasoning that we don't need to remove it. At the end of my appointment, he told my daughter he could go home and not come back. And my daughter looked terrified. She didn't understand anything of the discussion. Instead of realizing she was being told to go home because she was fine, she was alarmed and assumed something was terribly wrong. After a brief explanation, she went on her way. Children, more than mere observers to their surroundings, lack the full ability to often verbalize and process what they've experienced. The confused child may experience their feelings even deeper than adults due to a lack of understanding. So when they have a lack of understanding, it's very important upon us to make sure that the words we choose to use are the appropriate ones. And yes, sometimes people can lose their patience with their children, and sometimes they try on patience, and sometimes they don't behave and they don't listen. But to fall under the category of anas dvarim is something that can have lasting effect, not only on adults, but on children. Next subheading, she calls it using gentle speech. I've been very surprised by the way I've heard people speak to or in front of children. I don't think parents mean harm, but benign intentions can still have negative consequences. Kids can do annoying things. They may be adorable, but they get into trouble at the wrong time. They interrupt conversations. They create background noise. They run over their trucks over a dull feet and raise chalada. There certainly can be an opportunity to be mechanech a child, but speaking rudely or calling them annoying or any number of negative adjectives is not chinuch. We need to stop and think which tone we use when we respond. It's not only the words, it's also the tone of voice by which the words are delivered. If our tone is impatient, then the child perceives we feel them to be a nuisance. Even if they're getting in the way, we can redirect them using a method that is respectful towards their feelings. Many parents think if they're concerned, they don't say something, the child will never learn. It says in the Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, it's famous about Rav Yaakov Zatzal, that his mahalach techinich was, if it's not something your child's going to do when they're an adult, don't say anything. So is your child going to, you know, you don't have to reprimand, you don't have to be angry, you don't have to, whatever it is. Is your child going to, I don't know, walk across the table when they're 20 years old? Chances are they're not going to do so. So you could remove a child from the table, you could take them off. But to give them a rebuke when it's something that clearly they're not going to do, even just a few years later, it's not something that should be reprimanded. Many parents are concerned if they don't say anything, their child will never learn. After all, their job is to be mechanich. Their job as parents is to be mechanich, the child. However, sadly, often well-intentioned parents misinterpret telling their child off as chinuch. Our children will absorb our message better if they are not pained by our words. We can more effectively get our point across when we speak gently or firmly, but lovingly. Obviously, by the way, this is not only true parents vis-a-vis children. It's true people and their peers, people, a person and their peers, a boss and an employee, and two spouses. And obviously a rabbi to a talmud, because that is considered spiritual perus. Chinuch is teaching the child the right way to behave. Speaking disrespectfully to a child or venting frustration is not educational. That's not chinuch in and of itself. Rather than telling the child, stop bothering me when you're on the phone, we can say it's not appropriate to interrupt someone. I'll be happy to speak to you when I'm done. You give the child information and a lesson without resorting to negative language. So this whole piece is really how to change our language from negative onas dvarim to positive words that are elucidating and encouraging, validating, and yes, at times mechanech, but not insulting or demeaning to the person themselves. Some kids may need more help and direct instruction, but this too can be done with patience. It's also interesting to me that the Hebrew word for patience is savlanut. I say this often, especially when I speak about living with a disability or how we treat people who have disabilities. So the root word of savlanut is sovel, samech bet lamed, samech bis lamed. And that is this bowl, like when talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim, Pesach's on the horizon, Rotsesi Eschem Yitachos Sivlos Mitzrayim. So that is like a burden or an impression, because to have savlanut is difficult. Savlanut is this bowl. It's hard to have patience. But like my brother Rabbi Dov Fried said to me many years ago, Michal, just because something is hard for me doesn't mean I shouldn't work on it. So it's true, it's difficult, but is that an exemption to just say whatever we want, whenever we want? So, okay, let's go after. We also need to be cautious when speaking in front of children. So it's not only speaking to children, it's also speaking in front of children. I had a few sons before my first daughter, she writes. I can't tell you how many people would say, in the presence of my sons, you must really want a girl. How must this have made my sons feel? Other parents with only one gender of children, have told me they received the same comments, and it was too unappreciated by them. As a homeschooler, she homeschools her children, I often have parents tell me, I would never want to be home with my children all day. And they tell me this in front of their children. I do not expect any particular parent or home educate their child, but I cringe when I think what will be going through their child's mind when they hear their parents say they don't want to spend the time with them. Children should at least think their parents want to spend time with them, even if we know that adults need some time to themselves too. In the above examples, the adults did not intend to hurt young children. Quote, they just weren't thinking of how the child would perceive their comments. So sometimes we say something, and that's part of the big problem. Sometimes Onas Dvarim comes not because we're intentionally trying to hurt somebody. Onas Dvarim could just come because we're not thinking. But I don't know how that's going to work on Shemayim. If we're going to say, oh, I'm sorry, when they play back a video, I didn't mean to cause them, I wasn't thinking. So Hashem's going to say, why were you thinking? You have a mind, you have a brain, you have Chachma Bina Das. I know because I gave it to you. What do you mean you weren't thinking? Why weren't you thinking? Stop and pause before you speak. Sometimes we need to think even more carefully to make sure our messages will not be misinterpreted by the young people in our lives. Like everything else in life, she writes, she's concluding, we need to think carefully before speaking or acting to ensure the result reflects our intentions. It's not enough to say I wasn't thinking. It's a careless excuse. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to myself also. What do you mean you weren't thinking? What's Hashem going to say when I say that up there? It's not an excuse. You should have been thinking. I gave you the ability to think. If Chas V'Shalom, someone's mind doesn't work, so that's a different story. So, okay. Children being newer to the world are no less hurt by negative comments. Just because they're younger, it doesn't mean they're less hurt. In fact, Adaraba, since they're so young and not yet learning the ways of the world, they may be even more sensitive to Onas Dvarim. As adults in their life, we have the opportunity to teach them the correct way to speak, I'm quoting, with derech eretz and respect, and then we serve as an example that they can follow. May we always be the role model we want them to exemplify. So I thought it was a very beautiful piece, very relevant, and very on target to what we're speaking about here in the Sefer, which is the topic of Onas Dvarim. So it's not only, you remember we learned in the Mishnah, it's not only if someone says, oh, where can I find donkey food? And you tell them, go to that and that place, even though you know that place doesn't sell food for the animals. Today it would be like, where can I find the gas station? And, you know, you send them on a wild goose chase, even though you know there's no gas station. You can't go into a store with no intention to buy and say, how much does this cost? No intention to buy. Again, we're not talking about Costco or, excuse me, or Target. Small Jewish-owned store, proprietor thinks he's a business. You had no intention to buy. You go in and you say, how much does it cost? And then you leave. That's Onas Dvarim. So not only are those instances Onas Dvarim, but also how we speak to our children particularly is very much, can be, God forbid, under the category of Onas Dvarim. And we have an achrayus to think before we speak, not to use the excuse, well, I just was not thinking. They are very sensitive. They do understand. And the little boy who didn't get the envelopes, who was embarrassed weekly, remembers the pain and shame 60 years later. How far-reaching are the effects and power of our actions and words? Okay, we are going on now. If you happen to have the Sefer we learned from, we're starting page 178. We are learning the Sefer Kuntros Chovetz HaShmira, the Chovetz Chaim. We're on page 178, FYI. Okay, we are in Perek Yudalet, and we are under the subheading of Onas Dvarim. Okay. Ad Amru. So the Chovetz Chaim continues here. Ad Amru. Furthermore, the sages say, so the Pasuk says, in Vayikra Perachav Hei Pasuk Yitzai, in Velo Sonu Ish Es Amiso, you shall not oppress or abuse your fellow. Ad Amru. Furthermore, Chazal say, Mai Dichtiv, what does the Pasuk mean when it says, in Vayikra Chav Hei, Velo Sonu Ish Es Amiso, one may not oppress, abuse, aggrieve his fellow. So it says, Es Amiso, or Et Amito. So the question of Chazal is, why does he use the word amito? Why doesn't it just say, v'lo sonu ish es chaveiro? Or v'lo sonu ish es reo? Or v'lo sonu ish es, I don't know, fellow Yisraeli? Why specifically? Because we know every word on the Chumash is very medactic and exacting. Why does it specifically say amiso or amito? So you notice that the root word of amiso, his fellow, is am. Like Am Yisrael, but also Ish as Amiso. Rav Salvechik is a piece where he speaks about if you want to be part of Am Yisrael, Ayin Mem, you need to be Im Yisrael with your fellow. Okay, Al Tifrosh Minetzibra Chazal tells him, if you want to be part of Am Yisrael, you have to be Im Yisrael. So why does the pasuk say v'loso nuish as miso as opposed to as reo, as chaveiro, as ish yisrael, his fellow Jew? Am she'itcha b'torah of a mitzvos al tonei. So Chazal say, oh, you know what it means? The fellow Jew who is with you and Torah mitzvos him, you are not allowed to grieve or abuse. So before everyone panics and thinks that chas v'sham you now have permission, or that God forbid we are recommending that you go cause onas dvarim, that a Jew does not keep Torah mitzvos, just let's keep going. That is not accurate, okay? But that's what Chazal teach. Am amiso from the word im, with, meaning a fellow Jew who is with you in Torah mitzvos, means you're sharing Torah mitzvos the best of your ability, hopefully. You're sharing Torah mitzvos the best of ability. Him, you're not allowed to grieve. Okay? Am she'itcha b'Torah mitzvos al tonei. Does that mean that I could go find a Jew who today in America, the vast majority, are not shomei Torah mitzvos, not shomei Shabbos, and I could go abuse them? Is that what this means? First of all, it would be a pretty bad reflection, never mind the onas dvarim you're causing, it would be a pretty awful reflection on you as a person. But let's go. Umuchach demisha sar midercha Torah, ein alav isra onas dvarim. So you learn from here that someone who has strayed from the path of Torah, okay, a non-practicing Jew, ein alav isra onas dvarim. There's no isra, there's no prohibition against him to cause him onas dvarim, meaning it would be okay to cause him onas dvarim. Again, we're going to clarify. You have to stay for the shiur to hear the clarification. Shazeinu kura amisecha don yazeh. Because in regard to this matter of onas dvarim, he is not called amisecha. Why is he not called amisecha? Because he's not im am Yisrael. Im am, ayim em. So since he's not im with Am Yisrael, the nation of Israel, ein olav isur onas dvarim. There is no isur upon him of verbal oppression. Vinira, it appears, says the Chafetz Chaim, dahainu davke bedavar shemufursam b'Yisrael the isur ve'atzol hufkar davar. What are we talking about? It appears we're talking about specifically a matter that is well publicized amongst Israel to be something that's usur. It's well publicized amongst Am Yisrael that it's usur. Ve'atzol hufkar hadavar, by him it's just hafkar. So it's something that's well known to be isur, forbidden, and by him it's just hafkar. He doesn't consider it an isur. He doesn't take it seriously. He doesn't follow this law. Aval stam ish, kol shehu b'kal Yisrael, yesh av isur donas dvarim. So, talking about a very specific category. We're not talking about tinik shenishba, which is the vast majority of Jews today, especially in America. It means a captive baby. It means someone who is never educated, someone who doesn't know, someone who doesn't have the background, someone who doesn't have the teaching, someone who simply doesn't know what it means to keep Shabbos because they never learned, because they never had an education. We're not talking about those people. We're not talking about someone who has been misguided by no fault of their own. If somebody knows the halacha, knows the Torah, and then etzel hufka hardavar, he makes a matter hefker by him, so he knows all about Shabbos, he knows halachos, he doesn't care, and he makes it hefker, that is the category of someone who has left al misecha. Aval stam ish, but when it comes to just a regular person, kol shehu b'kal Yisrael, all the more so that he's part of kal Yisrael, yesh alav isur donas dvarim. There is the isur. You are not allowed to cause him verbal harassment. The majority of Jews today, the huge majority of Jews today, are those who have no idea. They don't know. They have not been educated. Remember when Rabbi Shai Shechter was a bunch of years ago, one of the, it was on Y.E. Torah, it was just on Y.E. Torah many years ago, certainly before COVID, that's 3 years, so I don't know, 5 years ago, but it made such an impression on me. It was an FIDF Shabbos, and so the FIDF, Friends of IDF organization, puts different soldiers in different Bate Knesio, different shows in the neighborhood, and they speak to the people, etc. When Shai Shechter told over the following story, his show, the young Israel Woodmere, had been assigned a certain soldier to come speak to them. It was Shabbos morning. The soldier had a story. He grew up a single parent home, single mother, how the army helped him and FIDF helped him and he overcame. It was a very inspiring story. And he spoke. Rabbi Shechter asked him if he wanted to speak now, he wanted to speak after, he wanted to get over it, so he spoke now. So in the kippah, then the keeper to come to Beit Knesset, and he spoke. And after he spoke, he said to Rabbi Shechter, Achshav ma, what happens now? Rabbi Shechter said, Achshav mitpalalim, now we're going to pray. And the Israeli soldier said, Maza mitpalalim. What does it mean? What is that? We're going to daven. Rabbi Shechter said he realized that the soldier, who's coming from Israel, did not know what it means. Achshav mitpalalim, Maza mitpalalim. Did not even know what it meant. They're going to daven. So Rabbi Shechter said he made a decision. They left the minion they were in. And they went to the downstairs minion. Rabbi Shechter said, I think he said he missed Kriyas HaTorah that week. He said, I'm not sure if I made the right decision or not, but I realized it may be this Jew's only opportunity to be in a base Knesset, to see so many Jews davening, to answer Shema Yisrael Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, to answer Kedusha. He went downstairs with him. I believe he went up to Musaf in the main sanctuary. He followed along with him in the Siddur. He didn't know anything. So the majority of Jews today simply don't know. So this does not mean you're allowed to go around causing a nastvar to your fellow Jew. You are not. If you have somebody who da'afka, but davrishim of first and based shalai itzravat, so if kar davar, then that's a different category. But I would still recommend that we do not take upon ourselves to be a kana and to go cause a nastvar to anybody, even if he falls in the category of he knows the Torah, everyone knows his mitzvah, and he makes it hafka by him. I still don't think that a person, especially on our level, we are not the mechanchim of the dar, we are not the gedolei hadar, we do not have an achrayus, or I even think not only don't we have responsibility, we don't have the ability to go around today giving tochacha through a nas dvarim, even when it's warranted. So for us, stay away from this lav. It's not good for the person, and it's not good for you, your neshama. Aval stam ish, when it comes to just a regular stam person, calls you b'kaisha, much more so he's part of kaisha, yesh av isra, don't nas dvarim. There is an issue with him. You cannot cause him verbal oppression. You cannot cause him that pain. Du shayech b'chol adam. This is applicable to every person. Afilu einam shavim medrega sankal. Even someone who's not on your level is also to cause them an astram. So you might think, oh, that person knows less than me. That person's an ignoramus. That person's, I don't know, not on my medrega. Afilu einam shavim medrega sankal. He's not on my medrega. So does that mean I can go around causing verbal abuse? The answer is absolutely not. Ka'amar hatana ba'avos. Excuse me, he quotes a Mishnah from Pirkei Avos. Perek Dalin, Mishnah Gimel, like the Tana teaches us in Pirkei Avos, Al tivaz l'chol adam. Do not be scornful of any person. So we have a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalin, Mishnah Gimel. I'm going to read it to you. Okay. Let's see the Mishnah. So the Mishnah tells us, this is the Mishnah that the Chavetz Chaim has just quoted. Okay. The Mishnah tells us, Ben Azai, in the name of Ben Azai, Hu Haya Omer, Ben Azai used to say, Al tivaz l'chol adam. Do not be scornful of any person. So the Chavetz Chaim brings this to teach you that the Lashon does not say, Al tivaz the tzaddik, Al tivaz the tamer chacham, Al tivaz the gadol dar. It's not what the Mishnah says. Al tivaz the chol adam. You cannot be scornful of any person. Al timafig the chol davar. Do not be disdainful of anything. She'en the chol adam, she'en the shah, ve'en the chol davar, she'en the makam. You have no person who does not have his hour, and you do not have a thing that does not have its place. So every person has their hour, and every person and everything has a purpose. Therefore, you should not be scornful of any person. And do not be scornful of any person, and do not be disdainful of anything. And this is the Mishnah of the Chavetz Chaim quotes to teach you that Onas Dvarim applies to every human being. I'm going to quote from Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky, Zichrono Levracha, in his Sefer Visions of the Fathers, his commentary to Pirkei Avos, Al tivaz l'chol adam, do not be scornful of any person. He quotes Rabbi Shalom Dov of Lubavitch, Zatzal, who showed great affection for the simple folk. One time, a chassid, who was a diamond merchant, asked the rabbi of Shalom Dov of Lubavitch what virtues he saw in unlearned people. The rabbi asked the chassid whether he happened to have any of his merchandise with him, whereupon he showed the rabbi a packet of diamonds. The rabbi pointed to a rather large gem, and he said, "This is a beautiful diamond." The chassid smiled, "No, rabbi," he said, "it happens to be full of defects, but it's more beautiful than the other stones," said the rabbi. The chassid explains, "It's true it happens to be larger than the other stones, but it has defects which can be seen with a magnifying glass. Its value is much less than some of the smaller stones. Now here," he said, "is a smaller stone that might not appear as brilliant as the larger one, but it's a perfect stone. It is flawless. Rabbi, it's very valuable. You see, Rabbi, to know the value of diamonds, you must have expertise. I understand, Rav Shalom Dov of Lubavitch said, but the same thing is true of knowing how to value people. In order to value people, one must have great expertise. If we value the people around us and the people in our lives, then alti vaz chodam, vaz like the word bizayam. Bizayam is a mockery, a scoffing, a denigrating, cheapening. So alti vaz chodam, we value the people. I was just like a diamond merchant values diamonds, so he knows which one is more precious than the other, but an untrained eye cannot see the preciousness of something that seems worthless, but the diamond merchant knows how precious it is. So too, said Rav Shalom Dov of Lubavitch, the same thing is true of knowing the value of people. One needs great expertise. I'm continuing, Rabbi Dr. Tversky continues. I mean, visions of our fathers, visions of the fathers. Commentary to Pirkei Avos. Several years ago, says Rabbi Dr. Tversky, I fully appreciated the truth of the rabbi's words. I had begun a project in Israel to rehabilitate ex-convicts who had run into trouble with the law because of their need to support their drug habits. In meeting with the first group, I tried to point out that people with a good sense of self-worth, people with a healthy sense of self-worth, are unlikely to do things that cause them harm. Because just like someone who owns a beautiful automobile would take caution that it not be scratched and marred, so to a person when they have self-worth appreciates that they don't want to be scratched and marred. At this point, one of the clients interrupted me, exclaiming, "You expect me to have a sense of self-worth?" This is an Israeli ex-convict. "I am 34 years old. I have spent 16 years of my life in prison, having been convicted 8 times. When I get out of jail, no one wants to hire me because of my prison record. I can't get a job to support myself. When my family is informed that I'll be released from prison, they will be upset. I'm a burden and an embarrassment. I'm sure they would rather have me dead. How could I have a feeling of self-worth when everyone in the world considers me worthless and nothing but excess baggage they want to be rid of?" I, says Rabbi Dr. Tversky, was greatly taken aback by the man's desperation and the apparent validity of his words. But I said, "Avi," that's the name of this ex-convict that Rabbi Dr. Tversky writes, "Avi, have you ever seen a display in a jeweler's window that are dazzling diamonds worth thousands of dollars? Do you know what the diamonds look like when they were first extracted from the mine? They look dirty, ugly, worthless, like nothing more than a piece of glass. Anyone who would judge by appearance would throw them away." Late Thursday, Pirkei Avos, Altistika Bakan Kan Alba Masha Yeshba, which is also from Pirkei Avos. However, there's a maven expert who scans them, and he may pick out the worthless rocks. And he may say, "Wow, I bet there's a $1 million gem here." An onlooker would say, "Throw away the piece of junk and wash your hands from the dirt." But the maven, the discerning one, says, "Just wait and see what's here." I just read this somewhere. That a rabbi was speaking to a group of kids who were, I don't like terms, struggling in their youthfulness in Yiddishkeit. So he picked up $100 bill. I'm not making this up. I read this. Picked up $100 bill and he asked the boys, "Does anyone want this $100 bill? So of course the kid said yes. So then he folded the $100 bill in half. "So does anyone want this?" The kid said yes. He folded it again. "Do you want it?" "Yes." "Again, yes, again, yes." It was a teeny square. Everyone still wants it. He opened it up. He says, "Do you want it?" "Yes." Then he crumpled it in his fist. Then he uncrumpled it. And now it was a wrinkled, very wrinkled $100 bill. He said to the boys, "Do you want this?" And they said, "Yes." And he said, "Boys, that's your neshama. How about you fold it and bend it and crumple it and twist it and make it full of wrinkles and you open it up and it looks less than stellar. The Baruch Shalom still wants your neshama. He still wants you. You're still precious, obviously. Infinitely, infinitely more than $100 bill, which is just a mashal. And that's true of all of us, and that's why we have to be mechazik ourselves. That sometimes with Lashon Hara, with Onas Dvarim, which is specifically a chapter we're in, we are not always perfect in our speech as we want to be. Sometimes we do make the mistakes we don't want to make. Sometimes we do speak without thinking, even though as much as we try and we work on it, it happens. So we have to know that we have to get back up, uncrumple ourselves. There's still the $100 bill, and Hashem still desires it. It's not only talking about ex-convicts who have spent 16 out of 34 years in jail. It's talking about anyone who's done a sin. Al tatz de karbi. Can't judge someone else. I have my own problems. I have to know that Ribbono Shel Olam can and does want me, and I can be uncrumpled. I can be made smooth again. And inside is a beautiful neshama. I can do better the next time. So an onlooker, going back to Rabbi Dr. Twersky, envisions of the fathers. Throw that piece of junk away. Wash the dirt off your hands. But the Mavin, the discerning, wise, understanding man, says, just wait and see what's in here. He sends that dirty-looking rock to a processing plant, and he yields a dazzling 15-carat diamond, which can blind a person with its brilliance. Of course, there's no way anyone can put such beauty into a dirty rock. The processing plant didn't put the beauty in. It just cut away and cleaned the dirt. It exposed the beauty that was always there. Avi, Rabbi Dr. Twersky said, you are telling me you're worthless, that I am the Mavian, I am the discerning one who can see the precious diamond within you. If you stay with us, we'll help you reveal it. By the way, it relates to the first piece on how we started about Unas Tvarim, or not doing Unas Tvarim towards our children. Because if we see the diamond in every child/Talmida, and we help them see the diamond, and instead of putting Chas V'Shalom another a child down, instead of using Unas Tvarim, if we use words that clean and polish, then the beautiful diamond of the Neshama will be revealed. Avi remained in treatment for 3 months, as Rabbi Dr. Twersky. It's well known, of course, Rabbi Dr. Twersky spent many decades working with thousands of recovering addicts. Avi remained in treatment for 3 months. Remember, we're in the Mishnah. This is Rabbi Twersky's comment, Rabbi Dr. Twersky's commentary to Al Tihi Vaz Lechol Adam. Do not be scornful of any person. Avi remained in treatment for 3 months. Then he went to a halfway house. He got a job and he worked on recovery. Eventually, he moved to independent living. One day, Annette, who was the administrator of the halfway house, received a call from a family whose elderly mother had died and she left furniture which they had no use for. They wished to donate the furniture to the halfway house. Annette, the administrator of this house, called Avi to find that if he could move the furniture, Avi would find a truck, he would take care of her. 2 days later, Avi called her to state he was at the apartment with the truck, but the furniture was old, run down, and could not be used. Annette told him she didn't want to refuse the donation to bring the furniture anyway. Avi loaded the truck, and at the halfway house, they were dragging an old broken sofa up the stairs when an envelope containing 5,000 shekels fell out from between the couch cushions. In the past, Avi had stolen purses and broken into homes for as little as 10 shekel. Here he had 5,000 shek of existence no one else knew about. It belonged to a deceased woman, and the couch had been donated. The rule of finders keepers was tempting. There would have been no crime in keeping the money. Avi, the ex-convict, called the family to report his find. They thanked him. They suggested he give the money to the donation to the halfway house. I subsequently, Rabbi Dr. Twersky, met Avi and I said, didn't I tell you there's a beautiful diamond within you? How many otherwise honest people would have simply pocketed the money? Your diamond is brilliant, Avi. On a subsequent trip to Israel, Annette showed me a plaque Avi affixed to the door of the halfway house. The plaque reads, Diamond Processing Center. Rabbi Shalom Dov of Lubavitch understood the Mishnah well, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky. Al tivaz lechol adam, do not be scornful of any person. There is no person, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, who should be scorned. You just have to be a Mavin. You just have to be discerning and understanding to see. And by the way, Mavin, because he keeps referring to this word Mavin, to see the beauty in another person. If you see the beauty in another person, you won't make a bizayon. If you see the beauty in another person, you won't scorn them. If you see the beauty in another person, you won't use Onas Tvarim. Mavin is also like the word binyan. Mavin from the Shoresh Lahavin, Batnon or Beisnan. So it means son. It means to build. And it's Bina. So we know in Lashon HaKodesh, it's a rule that I quote very often, that when words share the same Shoreshim, oh my gosh, this is so cute. I know she's going to listen to this shiur online. She listens to our, she's a kindergarten Mora, so she's a very beloved kindergarten Mora, so she listens to the shiur Mawai Torah. So Esti Klein, if you're listening, you'll be happy to know I'm wearing a Root sweatshirt. This is not a joke. This is a new Root sweatshirt. My kids were in Toronto at the end of last secular 2022 over the secular holidays. They went to visit my family, so they said they were in a Roots outlet. So I said, please get me a new hoodie. So I'm wearing a roots outlet. So Esty Klein, this is hysterical. She told me she likes when I wear my roots hoodie because I'm so focused on Shorash and roots. So I said, I actually just wear them because they're very comfortable. Today I'm just teaching from home and working from home. I don't have any errands or outside of that I'm doing. I do have. I'm just not going to get to them because I have so much work now. So she told me she likes when I wear a roots sweatshirt. So in an ode to my roots sweatshirt, and Esty Klein, so Rav Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky is talking about being a Mavin, based on the story from Rabbi Shalom Dov of Lubavitch, Shlusha Yagin Elinu, being a Mavin to understand the preciousness in every person, the gem in every person's neshama. If you understand that, you won't do an as farm. So Mavin is from the Shorish Bet Nun or Beis Nun, Lahavin, to understand, which is what he's talking about, to be a Mavin, a wise, discerning person. Ben, like a child, Beis Nun, your son, Banim, Uvnei Vanim. And Binyan, to build. So we know that there has to be a connection between these words, otherwise they would not share the same Shorish. So what's the pshat? What's the connection? So through Bina, through understanding and discernment, through wisdom and intelligence, the Bina, that a person shows towards their child, Banim Ufnei Vanim, they will ultimately, by using positive words and positive examples of chinuch and words of compliments, they will build up that child and then a future home in Israel. So, Bina Yisera Nasnal Isha Yosem Rabbi Ish, Nida 45b. Based on the pasuk from Bereishis, I believe it's Bereishis Perek Beis Pasuk Chav Beis. Ayivin Hashem Elokim Esatzela Asher Lakach Mila Adam LeIsha. When Isha is created, it says Vayivin. It doesn't say Vayitzer, like in 1:27, and it doesn't say no. Vayitzer is 2:7, and it doesn't say Vayivra like in 1:27. New Shorish is introduced when it comes to the creation of Isha. Na Vayivra, na Vayitzer, Vayivin. So why? Why when Hashem made Isha does it say Vayivin and he built? Okay, so Binyan, but the Gemara says in Nida 45b, Bina Yisera Nasnal Isha Yosir Rebbe Ish, from this pasuk, Vayivin Hashem Elokim Asatzela Shalakach Mina Adam Isha. A woman has an extra degree of measure, an extra measure or degree of intuition, an understanding of Bina. So through the Bina, being a Mavin, which you daven for in Havas Olam, Lahavinu Laskil Lishmo Lamed Lahavin. Through Bina, towards the child, Ben, and using proper words to build up, live note, that intuition that that person exhibits towards their child is used to build that person. And Be'ezer Hashem, a future Am in Israel. Remember what the Chafetz Chaim says in his... It's on page 26 of the Sefer, in the Hakdama to the Sefer. Kal hadvarim b'diburav sha'adam yachal livro olamot ula hachariven. The summation of the matter is that through words we can build worlds, and through words we can destroy worlds. So we have to make sure we're builders of words. How are we going to be builders of words? When we use our Bina towards our children, banim, that includes talmidim, grandchildren, etc., then leave note, we will be building up the future home and the future doors of Kal Yisrael. So, who does Onas Dvarim apply to? Everybody, the man behind the counter in the bagel store, and the child, and the spouse, and the employee. So, it's true that Chazal say, lo sonu isha samiso, and you can't oppress your fellow, am she'it chabator v'mitzvos altoneu, one who is with you in Torah mitzvos. However, there's a caveat here. This is really speaking about stam ish, any person, kol shuv v'kla Yisrael. Of course, he's part of Kla Yisrael. Yesh lav isra donas tvarim. There is a prohibition against causing him pain, because hu shayach b'chol adam. It applies to every person, afilu enim shavim madrig asan kol. Even if he's not on your level, he doesn't have to be talmid chacham, a gadol dor, a shir participant, he's not on your level, you still can't cause him onas tvarim. Like the Tana says, in Pirkei Avos, al tivah z'chol dal adam. Do not cause a bizayon. Do not scorn any person. We spoke of Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky's teaching. When we see the diamond and every other person, then certainly you will appreciate the infinite value in every neshama. And of course, you won't cause unas tvarim. So if it's a matter that is publicized amongst Israel. Everyone knows it's an Isser, and this person makes it by him hefker. This guy, you know, chooses to willingly throw off the yoke of this mitzvah, then it is incumbent to give a musar through an astrarim. It's not for people on our level. For us on our level, as we have been learning extensively on the Chafetz Chaim quotes, it is also to cause an astrarim. Next time, Be'ezor Hashem, we will continue. Thank you so much for learning with me. I wish everybody a day besuros tovos. Shalom and Nechama, the Kayisha and Eretzisha Ad Masai, the Vinahafachu that the Yidden had in the time of Esther Mordechai against their enemies. Heim Abisonehim, Lashmi Darog Abedis Kala Yehudim, Minarva Zakin. 2 weeks ago, two brothers. Yesterday, two brothers. Manomar Umanadaber, Hello Kimatsas Avar of Dacha, Shibizachat and other of Simcha and Yeshua. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a wonderful day. Call to you.